The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Our scripture reading for this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, hey, everybody. Good morning. It's a joy to be with you all this morning. I want to start this morning by asking a simple question that's going to frame the remainder of our time. The question is this: what kind of person do you want to be in 20 years? Seems like a fairly deep question to start a sermon with, but as we have celebrated 20 years as a church, it had me thinking and praying through what might the next 20 years of my own life look like. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Aaron, and I have the joy of serving as one of the pastors here at Coram Deo, and I count it a great joy to get to do what I get to do. I feel like I have the joy and privilege of doing what God has made me to do, and I get to do it with some of my dearest and closest friends. And it was such a joy last week to celebrate 20 years as a church. And most of you probably know, but in case you're new, my family and I have been a part of Coram Deo for the past handful of years, but not nearly the whole 20. We've been here since January of 2023, and we absolutely love being here. It's a tremendous joy for us. But one of the things that was somewhat intimidating when we first arrived here a few years ago was that in coming here as one of the pastors was the fact that virtually all of the other pastors and elders have been here, it felt like, since the very beginning. Of course, Pastor Bob planted Coram Deo in 2005, but in addition, most of the elders have been around for a substantial amount of time, and many of them close to 15 years. So I was thinking to myself, me and Shai were, like, how will this, like, established team receive this new guy from the West Coast who's going to be, you know, preaching fairly often? What kind of dynamic would that create? It's kind of wondering, like, would that be kind of weird or whatnot? But from the get-go, this established and very faithful team that so many of you all know and have looked up to, no surprise, welcomed me in with tremendous affection and friendship and just a lot of really good support. I mean, when you have people around with you that have credibility, that have longevity, who are both for you and willing to still give you the feedback that you need to hear and the constructive sort of discipleship that you need, that is such a gift. So Aaron and Kevin and Jason, Dave, Mike, you know you're not here, Kevin, Michael, Jonathan, Justin, Dusty, Bob, thank you. Like, thank you for welcoming me in and allowing to be a part of God's work in this church. And as we head into what is going to be a very busy and full fall, it is such a joy, again, to be a part of what God is doing in this church. I'm really grateful for all that God has done. It was so fun to hear all of those stories, and also very excited and expectant for what God is going to continue to do. To borrow words from Paul to the Philippians, he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. But what is that good work that God wants to continue to do? Well, this gets back to the question I just alerted us to a moment ago. What kind of person would you want to be, do you want to be in 20 years? You know, for me, there's some not so good ways where I might answer that question, where there's ambition and goals that may or may not align with the heart of God. And there's actually some decent ways that I want to and do answer that question, be faithful to my wife and kids and see them flourish and serve the Lord faithfully, preach the gospel faithfully and see Coram Deo Church flourish and get you all excited about Bible and theology in the process. So you too probably have some good and not so good ways of answering that question. What kind of person do you want to be in 20 years? And maybe there's some mixed motives and ambitions and things that are more about you than they really are about God. But here's the one thing you should want to be in the next 20 years? You should want to be more like Jesus. I know that seems simple. I know that seems obvious, but maybe you're even here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're saying to yourself, why would I want to be anything like Jesus? Well, hang with me. See, on the back end of celebrating 20 years, and as I've been praying through what the Lord might want to say to us and what I should preach on, here's the one thing I know that God wants us, every single human being in this room. God wants transformation. That we all would become more and more and more transformed into the image of Jesus. See, 20 years in some ways it might be easy to coast. God has done a lot. But if we are a church centered on the gospel, and we are, then the people who are centered on the gospel are always going to be longing for deeper and fuller transformation into Christ's likeness, because that's what the gospel does. When the gospel goes to work in individuals and communities, transformation happens. See, it's from a place of delighting in the grace of God. The gospel then propels us forward into deeper change. And this is why we need the words of Romans 12. Romans 12 gives us a vision for intentional transformation. See, here's the sermon summed up in one sentence. Because of what Christ has done, you can pursue intentional transformation. That's the big idea this morning. Because of what Christ has done, you can pursue intentional transformation. And Romans 12 gives us a vision for intentional transformation in three parts. Intentional transformation requires discipline, desire, and destination. Let's take each of those in turn. Discipline, desire, and destination. First, with discipline, intentional transformation requires discipline. What do I mean? Well, let's look at verse 1. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, before we go any further, we need to understand why Paul is making this appeal. Notice that crucial word, therefore. That little word, therefore, connects everything Paul is about to say with everything that he has already said in the first 11 chapters. When Paul says, therefore, by the mercies of God, he's referring to the entire gospel story that he's just laid out in chapters 1 through 11. Namely, that we are all sinners deserving of God's wrath. But God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, Jesus, the Son of David, Son of God, died for us according to the scriptures, and that through faith in Christ, we are united to Christ in his death and resurrection and declared righteous, justified in the sight of God. And this is all of grace, all a gift, not something you work for or earn. So sin, therefore, no longer has dominion over you. The truest thing about a Christian is that they are alive to God in Christ Jesus, and that nothing can separate them from the love of God in Christ. This is what Paul means when he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, the entire gospel story, God's unmerited favor toward rebellious sinners like you and me. So when Paul says, therefore, by the mercies of God, this is not just some suggestion for spiritual growth. Rather, what Paul is declaring is that this is the proper response. This is what it looks like to live in light of all that God has done in Christ. But notice Paul says, present. Present. That's an action word that requires discipline. Even a sense of duty. That word present can be translated display or place. When you display or place something, you often do so with a level of intentionality. There's a sense of thoughtfulness or planning behind it. Again, intentional transformation requires discipline. Paul wants each individual person to respond in this way. Now, notice again what Paul says. He says, therefore, present your bodies. And sometimes people will say when Paul says your bodies, Paul is referring to your entire way of life, which isn't wrong, but I actually think Paul believes that what you do with your body matters. What you do with your body affects your soul. Your body is connected to how you either thrive or don't thrive spiritually. Think about it like this. The spiritual disciplines, let's just talk about prayer and scripture reading, involve our bodies. With our two-year-old Juniper, we're trying to teach her how to pray. And part of the discipline when we're doing this as a family is having her close her or fold her hands together. Why? Well, there's not like some magical or mandatory thing about folding your hands or closing them in prayer, but what that physical act is hopefully training her to do is to teach her to be less and less distracted as we come to God in prayer. And instead focus our being upon the Lord. Present your bodies and don't poke your sister with the fork at the table. So when you pray, it's not necessarily sinful to be, you know, slouched over and feet up like you're on a lazy boy, but there is something profound that happens when you do sit up, when you come to a place of stillness, or even when you bow your knees, demonstrating physically humility and dependence upon the Lord. See, let me state the obvious. We read with our eyes, we sing with our mouths, we serve with our hands and feet. And I know that you're not learning anything new there, but let's go a layer deeper, because sometimes we need to do something with our bodies to help train us to guide our souls. Maybe our bodies train our souls more than we think. And this takes discipline, and dare I say, a sense of duty. For example, biblically, the psalmists command God's people to lift your hands. Lift up your hands, Psalm 134, to the holy place and bless the Lord. Or the scriptures invite us to kneel. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Paul himself says in Ephesians 3, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And I don't think he's just talking spiritually. He's doing something physical there. Present your bodies. There's discipline. There's intentionality. What you do or don't do with your bodies affects you spiritually and vice versa. Christian spiritual disciplines are bodily in nature. Worship, prayer, reading the scriptures all involve our bodies, and we do them not to earn God's favor, rather to be in a position to receive more of God's grace and power in our lives. Practicing the disciplines, again, think about things like scripture reading and prayer, help us, form us into people of character and virtue. And as we do so, what we do shapes who we become. Every human being in this room is an accumulation of thousands upon thousands of habits. And each of those habits is intended to have a purpose. These intentional spiritual habits for us as Christians are designed to cultivate virtue and character in our lives. N.T. Wright, in his incredible book, After You Believe, puts it well. He says this: virtue, in this strict sense, is what happens when someone has made 1,000 small choices requiring effort and concentration to do something which is good and right, but which doesn't come naturally. And then, on the 1,001st time, when it really matters, they find they do what's required automatically, as we say. Practicing certain habits is not in tension with the gospel. It's intended to flow out of what the gospel is doing in our lives. The gospel changes our hearts so that we actually become the kinds of people who desire the right things. This is why Paul calls us not to just grit our teeth and present and live as sacrificial lives from a sense of mere duty. He calls us to live this way as a response to the mercies of God. Because when we truly understand what Christ has done for us, our hearts begin to be changed. We begin to want to live for him as a living sacrifice. Which leads us to our second point here, desire. Intentional transformation requires desire. Now, I keep using that phrase, intentional transformation. Now, what's with that word intentional? Why not just say transformation requires X? Well, the beginning of verse 2 gives us a clue here. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I want to camp out on that phrase, do not be conformed to this world. Because what the beginning of verse 2 is telling us is in some ways pretty obvious, and it's this, that you actually can be conformed to this world. If that weren't possible, why would Paul warn against it? See, if one isn't intentional, it's both easy and inevitable to be conformed to this world. Now, maybe this is obvious, but I do think it's worth being reminded of. You are being conformed and transformed every moment of your existence. To be a human being is to be formed. Humans are creatures of formation. Formation isn't just a spiritual thing. Formation is a human thing. Every action, every thought, every circumstance is an opportunity for transformation and formation. And Paul and the scriptures as a whole consistently articulate two options, and there's only two options. You are either being formed in the way of wisdom or the way of folly, the way of godliness or ungodliness, or in the way of the world or the way of Christ. There are only two options. And the counterformation against the way of Jesus is often subtle and hidden and often subversive. Every time you pick up your phone first thing in the morning to check your email instead of reading scripture, you are being formed. Every time you listen to an angsty political talk show, you are being formed. And every time you doom scroll or binge watch whatever the YouTube algorithm gives you, you are being formed. Like a weed in a garden, counterformation against the way of Jesus is ubiquitous and all too easy. But formation in the way of Jesus requires intentionality. Intentionality with receiving and cultivating the right desires. But pay attention, hear me on this. If all you have is discipline and duty, but no desire, that will lead to burnout real fast. Notice again what Paul says in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Paul says, be transformed. That phrase, be transformed, is really interesting. Because on one hand, it is an imperative. It is a command, but it's also an imperative that's written in what people call the passive voice, which means simply this, that the person doing the action isn't actually doing the action, but is actually receiving something being done to them. So be transformed. How? By having something or someone do something to you. Yes, there's a part we play in our transformation, but ultimately, biblical transformation is something that must happen to someone by something, or better said, someone outside of ourselves. Let me put it like this. A Christian vision of intentional transformation requires that God change you, namely, specifically, changing the desires of your heart. Another way to think about this phrase in verse 2 is like this: receive the transformation that God wants to bring about. Receive the transformation of desire that God wants to bring about in your life. But how? Well, notice what comes right after in the passage. Be transformed, receive the transformation that God wants to bring about by the renewal of your mind. Don't miss this. God wants to change your mind. This phrase, renewal of your mind, echoes something pretty vital from earlier in the book of Romans. Back in Romans 1:21, the first chapter, Paul identified the root problem for sin and idolatry. Verse 21 of chapter 1, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, in their minds, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, the fundamental problem with humanity is futile thinking and foolish hearts. Sin begins in the mind and heart with all wrong thoughts about God and ourselves and what will truly satisfy. Sin at its core is fundamentally a distrust or disbelief that God's ways and God's characters are truly for my best and actually for my good. See, when Paul says and calls for the renewal of the mind, he's talking about nothing less than a mind that has changed its course. And this is actually what the heart of what repentance is all about. Repentance simply means a change of mind that leads to a change of action. The renewal of your mind is a life of repentance and faith. It's continually turning from the patterns of futile thinking and believing and having your minds being renewed by the truth of God's word. In other words, transformation into greater Christ-likeness is impossible. Impossible without a life centered and grounded in the word of God. John Calvin, in his commentary on this verse, wrote this: a godly mind is not primarily formed to obey God by precepts or sanctions so much as by serious meditation upon the divine goodness in God's word. B.B. Warfield, the great Princeton theologian of the 20th century, once said, life close to God's word is a life close to God. A life of intentional transformation is a life that is saturated in God's word. Like the psalmist of Psalm 119, we are invited to become the kinds of people that long to say, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. See, whatever is captivating your mind and imagination is your functional God. Whatever your mind is dwelling on is what you will become like. If you behold, if you dwell on sex and stuff and success, that will deform you. But if you behold in your mind the truth of God's word, that will do something to you. This truth, that something from outside of you renews your mind, is what then sets the domino effect of joyful transformation into Christ's likeness. Transformation begins in many ways in our minds with the renewal of our minds. And that this is only the beginning. So I want to take a step back and invite you to see how this works. See, when you have a life of discipline, presenting your body as a living sacrifice in response to the gospel, and you are being transformed from the inside out so that your desires are changing through the renewal of your mind, you are living a life of true biblical wisdom and virtue and transformation. This isn't just moral improvement. This isn't just becoming a better version of yourself. This is participating in the very life of God as you are being conformed more and more into the image of his son. This is intentional transformation. And because of what Christ has done, you can pursue this. But this leads to our third and final point, destination. Intentional transformation requires discipline. Intentional transformation requires desire. But third and last, intentional transformation requires a destination. Let's pick back up again in verse 2. Again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And here's the key phrase, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you have an ESV translation, the footnote there at verse 2 is going to tell you that that phrase can also be translated what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. See, that word perfect is the word teleos. It's the word the New Testament uses all over the place for complete or whole or final. The final, ultimate, perfect will of God. That final destination, that's what Paul has in mind in verse 2. And what is that? What is the final, ultimate, perfect destination, plan, and will of God? See, I don't want you to read that phrase as if there's some perfect, hidden, secret plan for your life that I have to like figure out all on my own. Who do I marry? What job do I take? Where do I move? Questions like that. No. The complete will of God, the destination, is the complete transformation of you into the image of Christ. This is the destination that you must keep front of mind as you read this passage and live the Christian life. Paul says it like this to the Thessalonians. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification, by the way, is just another word for formation and transformation into Christ's likeness. That's the destination. That's the goal. Let me put it to you like this. Did you know that the Bible promises that for all of those who are in Christ, that you will be like Christ on that great and final day? And can you imagine? Can you imagine you with your personality, with your gifting, with all your quirks, but fully transformed and conformed into the image of Jesus? Can you imagine your struggle with patience gone? Imagine your struggle with lust gone. That constant worry and anxiety that besets you, gone. That angsty energy of always wanting to live a life to please someone else, completely gone. Can you imagine that? And even more, can you imagine a world where every human being is fully transformed and fully renewed into the image of Jesus. That's the destination. That's the goal. That's the perfect, complete, whole will of God. The reason the scriptures call God's people to greater and greater transformation, renewal, is because Jesus himself is in the business of renewing all things. And he wants you and your transformation to play a part in that. As God's people are renewed, we begin to experience a foretaste of the renewal of all things. I mean, Jesus himself and the apostles spoke of this renewal of all things. Jesus in Matthew 19 said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, in the renewal, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne." Or in the book of Acts, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things. And Paul knows this. Paul knows that this is the goal. This is where history for the Christian is headed. This is that destination. Having this hope in this destination, in Christ himself, is what empowers your transformation and renewal right now in the present. As you are transformed more and more into the image of Christ, you are participating in the renewal of all things. Becoming more like Christ now is living with anticipation for eternity, what will be fully and finally true. The Christian has the joy and the privilege of living a taste of the future now in the present. The Christian life is about forming the habits of heart and soul and mind in the present that anticipate the new creation that God is bringing about. N.T. Wright in that same book puts it like this: according to Romans 12, the more genuinely spiritual you are, the more clearly and accurately and carefully you will think, particularly about what the completed goal of the Christian journey will be, and hence, what steps you should be taking, what habits you should be acquiring as part of the journey toward that goal right now. When we practice discipline, presenting our lives and bodies with intentionality, when we allow our desires to be transformed by God's presence and his word, when we set our destination on ultimate Christ-likeness, we're not just becoming better people. We're living as citizens of God's kingdom that is both here and that is coming. Every act of worship, every moment of surrender, every opportunity to take your thoughts captive to obedience to Christ is all an opportunity to participate in the renewing of all things. Keep that destination in mind, and that will propel your transformation. The habits that we form now are preparing for us a glory yet to be revealed. And do you remember, do you know why this is all possible? Again, the beginning of verse 1 told us. If I may, let me circle back to the very beginning where Paul says, "Therefore, I appeal to you by the mercies of God." It's only because of God's great mercy that transformation is even possible, that renewal is even possible. Remember, when Paul says, "Therefore, by the mercies of God," he's referring to everything he just talked about in the first 11 chapters, how God has pursued rebellious sinners and justifies the ungodly. And that for those who turn to him in repentance and faith, they are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives him his spirit to empower faithful living. And that now, the truest thing about anyone who is in Christ is that sin no longer has dominion over them. You are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ, so live like it. That's the logic of the book of Romans. Live what is both true now and what will be true fully and finally one day. So let me end with that question I started with. What kind of person do you want to be in 20 years? We are, you are, in every given moment, being formed and transformed into a certain kind of person. Transformation and formation is not just a spiritual thing, it is a human thing. And because of what Jesus has done, you can pursue intentional transformation. So friends, let's give ourselves to the Holy Spirit right now and ask him to transform us. Right now, let's embrace this vision of intentional transformation. And as we continue to worship through singing, and as we prepare to come to the table, Let's surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit to help us live lives of intentional transformation, committed to God's glory and the renewal of all things. Give yourself fully by the power of the Spirit to this work. So Father in heaven, we ask that you would do this work amongst us. That as your people, you would instill in us a deeper desire and longing for the transformation that only you can bring, the renewal that only you can bring about. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do a work in each of our lives, both individually and as a church family. That we as Coramdale Church would grow in our formation and transformation into Christ-likeness. So Spirit of God, help us. Help us to grow in intentionality. Help us to grow in our sense of discipline. And help us to remember that you who began a good work, you are faithful to complete it. So we trust you. We turn to you. And we want to worship you and give you the glory. We pray this in all Christ's name. Amen.